And he told me on the steps of the Capitol, at the time of the inaugural 4 years ago, he said, "Mr. President, I want you to know I will be with you through thick." And I said, "What about thin?" He said, "Welcome to Washington."
But Washington's fascination with passing trends and one-day headlines can sometimes cause serious problems. Over in the West Wing of the White House, they caused them. There's the problem of leaks. Before we even announced the giveaway of surplus cheese, the warehouse mice had hired a lobbyist. And then a few weeks ago, those stories broke about the Kennedy tapes, and that caused something of a stir. Al Haig came in to brief me on his trip to Europe. I uncapped my pen and he stopped talking. And up on the Hill, I understand they were saying, "You need eloquence in the state dining room, wit in the East Room, and sign language in the Oval Office." It got so bad that I found myself telling every visitor there were absolutely no tape recordings being made, and if they wanted a transcript of that remark, just mention it to the potted plant on their way out. You know, I've often thought, when I've been faced with memorandums from deep in the bowels of the bureaucracy, what I wouldn't give to have Bill as an interpreter. You know, a fellow comes in, stands in front of your desk, hands you a memorandum, and he stays and waits there while you read it. And so you read. Action-oriented orchestration, innovation inputs generated by escalation of meaningful indigenous decision-making dialogue, focusing on multi-linked problem complexes, can maximize the vital thrust toward non-alienated and viable urban infrastructure. I take a chance and say, "Let's try busing." And if he walks away, I know I guessed right. Now, I know there's concern over attempts to roll back some of the gains that we've made. And it seems to me that here we ought to give some thought to strategy, to making sure that we stop and think before we act. For example, some of our critics have been saying recently that they want to take back the people's third-year tax cut and abolish tax indexing. And some others, including members of my staff, wanted immediately to open up a verbal barrage against them. Well, I hope you know that sometimes it's better if a president doesn't say exactly what's on his mind. There's an old story about a farmer and a lawyer that illustrates my point. It seems that these two got into a pretty bad collision, a traffic accident. They both got out of their cars. The farmer took one look at the lawyer, walked back to his car, got a package, brought it back. There was a bottle inside, and he said, "Here, you look pretty shook up. I think you ought to take a nip of this. But steady your nerves." Well, the lawyer did. And the farmer said, "You still look pretty, a little bit pale. How about another?" And the lawyer took another swallow, and under the urging of the farmer, he took another and another and another. And then finally said he was feeling pretty good and asked the farmer if he didn't think that he ought to have a little nip too. And the farmer said, "Not me. I'm waiting for the state trooper."